If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brandon Ayuk officially has reported to 49ers training camp, which starts tomorrow. We will discuss that and more next on the Cone Zone. Good afternoon, everyone. As you know, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch just spoke the day before training camp starts, and the big news is that Brandon Ayuk is in the building and will be in training camp and is expected to practice. Dad, you watched. What did you think of this news?
I think maybe finally and thankfully, this whole Brandon Ayuk thing is going to be over. So let's go over the possible permutations. First of all, he's there, which means they're probably pretty close, he and the team, and he doesn't want to be fined, and he wants to be part of the team, apparently. So we're going to find out if he practices starting Wednesday. But even if he doesn't practice, the first few practices really are just going through things he already knows. So it's either he'll practice and everything will be okay. He won't practice and everything will probably be okay. And then he'll sign a little later on like Debo did. But I think this thing is winding to a conclusion. Do you agree?
I do. And it's upsetting because we bet a bottle of wine on him, whether he would miss the first week of the season. It's beginning to look like I'm going to lose that bet and that he will be here probably practicing soon. I don't know if he'll practice without a new deal, but it does kind of seem like him showing up is him doing an act of good faith. Hey, I'm here. I know I requested a trade, but I still want to be on the team. Let's work something out.
Yeah, I think his agent and maybe people who are mature have talked to him and said, enough of this posturing, enough of this stuff. It's business. That's what Bosa said today. It's business. Treat it like business in a business-like manner. I think that's what it means.
Yeah. And if you take away all the little things that happened on social media away from the last few months, he's still right on schedule with where Debo Samuel was 2 years ago. Wanted an extension, requested a trade, got an extension on July 31st and never missed a practice that where players were wearing pads. So I guess earlier in the offseason when Ayuk was making all these comments, it made me feel like, man, he really means business and he's more upset than the average player. Maybe all that meant nothing. And this is going to take care of itself like all the other Niners situations have.
You know, I was thinking about it before we went on the air today. You said maybe it meant nothing, all the posturing. My favorite Shakespeare speech is Macbeth toward the end when he's facing death. And he says, it's full of sound and fury signifying nothing. That's what I feel about him. Everything he did was sound and fury signifying nothing.
Yeah, like I interpreted it as him being more dug in than Debo or any other player. Maybe it could have just been him being nervous, more nervous than any other player. And maybe he's more eager than any other player to get this done. Seems like the Niners do have a pattern of taking a long time for whatever reason. I asked John Lynch about it. He didn't really provide any insight, but they do this every time. And if they ever get around to presenting Ayuk with another offer, I wouldn't be surprised if he's grateful for it and accepts it.
I'm with you, and I'm really looking forward to that bottle of wine.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to giving it to you, if you earn it. If it happens.
He has to suit up for the first. If it happens, I ain't won yet. I ain't won yet.
Well, I'm not trying to create side bets or double or nothings, but do you think that I will practice tomorrow?
My guess is no. Let's not bet on it, but my guess is
no side bets. I was asking.
No side bets. My feeling is he won't practice until he has a deal. And I don't think these first few practices mean anything. What is your reading of the situation?
Yeah, like these first few practices are fine, but they won't be wearing pads. So I think from the 49ers perspective, if there were a deadline, the deadline would be before the first day in pads, not tomorrow. So I still think they feel that there's time to negotiate because that's how it played out with Debo Samuel. I don't see why it's going to be any different with this one.
Yeah, and I want to tell you, when it's all over with, and I think it will be resolved soon, I don't think anybody in that locker room or anybody in the front office is going to be down on Brandon Ayuk. I don't think so. You move on. And my attitude is he made his play. The Niners made their play. It has nothing to do with football, with the game. It's really business, which never particularly interested me. They worked it out. Not my issue. Let's move on.
Yeah, as soon as they work this out, we won't think about this ever again.
I hope not to. Iggy, let's talk about Pearsall.
Okay.
Because in a way, he's a more live topic than Ayuk. Tell everybody what the deal is with Pearsall.
Okay, so we found out a few days ago that the Niners placed him on the NFI list, the non-football injury list, and it's a little murky as to why they did that or what the injury was. Today, John Lynch revealed that Pearsall pulled his hamstring while working out away from the facility between minicamp and training camp. So they expect him to miss these upcoming four practices, then they'll have a day off, then they'll be back in pads, and they said that they hope or they expect he'll be back at that point. That's the update with Ricky Pearsall.
Now, they can't guarantee that he'll be back because you can't guarantee things like that, but apparently they don't think it's that serious, although hamstrings, I got to tell you, Iggy, sometimes they can last up to 3 weeks. So we'll see. We'll see about the guy. Now, I don't think he did anything wrong. My gut feeling tells me he wasn't riding a motorcycle and fell off or something like that. He's probably so eager to do well that he overdid it in practice. And I understand that. I probably even admire it. But it is unfortunate for him and the team because it's not like he's a veteran who's been through it before. Every practice would matter to him. So this is not grave. It won't ruin their season, but they didn't need it, and nor did he.
No, and it seemed like the reason they drafted him in particular in round one was they wanted a NFL-ready wide receiver, a good one, just in case things get weird with Brandon Ayuk and he holds out or whatever. And he may end up being Ricky. He may end up being really good, but a wide receiver who pulls his hamstring right at the onset of his first rookie season, you wonder how ready is he? Like, do you really understand what it takes to last? You played maybe 14 games in a season in college. Can you get your body ready and keep it ready for the entire season? I feel like I've seen rookies do this before, where they just get off to a bad start, they pull their hamstring, and they never catch up to the rest of the team. And it ends up being kind of a redshirt year. So right now it's no big deal, but if he comes back too soon, it could linger. It is pretty significant.
Yeah, I would hope this is not a redshirt year for him. It would be very bad look for the team if their first pick and a first round pick has the red shirt. So I'm not going there. I'm taking them at their word and saying that it's minor. They'll work it out. They have a reconstructed training staff and everything will be okay. But Iggy, it's not what they wanted. I mean, no. It's not some undrafted guy who got hurt.
And it's like, it's scary because you don't really know what's going to happen with a hamstring. He could be back next week and everything could be absolutely fine. Or he could linger. He could tweak it. He could re-injure it down the line. It's not what you want. They're hopeful. And right now it's probably not a big deal. But put it this way. If George Kittle had a pulled hamstring right now, you'd say he's fine. He's one of the best athletes in the NFL. He knows his body. He can figure it out. The rookie that has a pulled hamstring, you're like, have you had this injury before? Do you really know? Like, are you ready for training camp? Can you handle this amount of training? I can handle it. We've seen him do it year in, year out. Pearsall, a lot of times rookies are worn down from the combine and running all those 40-yard dashes and preparing for the draft. He could be worn out right now. So this is really critical for him. He needs to take his time coming back.
And also, Iggy, we really don't know anything about him. We know, I mean, there's a lot of data on Ayuk. Mostly good, but some questionable how he comported himself in the Super Bowl. We don't have any data, really, on Pearsall. In fact, let's face it, when they drafted him, I wasn't in the press room. I bet people were pretty surprised.
Yeah. The people that had even heard of him. I mean, no one expected him to get drafted in round one. And all I know is that OTAs and minicamp, where he did well, he was wearing a blue non-contact jersey, and they asked Kyle Shanahan why, and he said that he had some injury. He was dealing with something that didn't keep him off the field, but they wanted to protect him from. So he has an opportunity to play. There's a lot of pressure on him to be ready just in case Ayuk puts him in a tough position. And I think maybe all the pressure of that maybe could be leading him to press a little bit, maybe try too hard, which is normal.
During mini camps, did Pearsall run all out?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. He had something to prove, and you could tell.
Okay. So he didn't have a hamstring injury then?
No.
It's between mini camp and now?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you wonder, the veterans were talking about the last 40 days between minicamp and training camp is how they get away from football and trying not to think about it. And I'm sure they work out, but Pearsall, I'm sure he wasn't trying to get away from football. I'm sure he was trying to pack in as much training as he possibly could to be as ready as possible to potentially take an all-pro wide receiver's job. Boy, that's heady stuff. I mean, I'd probably pull both my hamstrings and my Achilles in that situation.
You pull your hamstring if you're not fully warmed up. When I used to run, if let's say I ran a heat and then I didn't fully warm up to the quarterfinal, boom, hamstring would go. I have a question for the viewers. When I'm watching Grant right now, he's freezing a little and his audio is coming in and out a little bit, but it may not be that way for you. And also maybe I'm not coming out. So could some, when you get a chance, could you just send in a note and let us know if you're receiving us okay? Because all of our indications are that everything is okay, but Grant is freezing up from me a little bit. So if you don't mind, let us know. Thank you.
Okay. It's maybe low. We just need to restart your computer or something like that. You seem fine to me. Anyway.
Should I do that?
No, I think we should keep going.
Should I restart?
No.
My...
no, you're fine.
Keep going. Okay. Jay Garza, my computer. God knows.
Don't do that. Jay Garza has been a member for 31 months. Thank you, Jay. Nicholas says, why Kyle insinuate that you misrepresent his words? He did insinuate that, didn't he?
We're going to get to that. That's a journalism thing, and I'm actually dying to get to it, but I'm trying to control myself.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're making you wait, Nicholas Sirianni. Thank you very much. Jody Moore says, hey, Grant, are the Niners better with BA? Same. If he is traded, does it make us worse or no net change because of Pearsall? Jody, I think he's a lot better than Ricky Pearsall, who's hurt at this point in their careers. But that's...
Yeah.
Like, not close.
Look, here's the thing about Ayuk. He's really a good player. Mm-hmm. I think there's no question the 49ers are better with him. My issue is not particularly with him, and I think Grant agrees with this. It's how Kyle uses him. This is a threat down the field. This is a guy who can really carry a team, and Kyle doesn't utilize him enough because Kyle sticks to his system no matter what, and he doesn't know what to do with the kind of talent that Ayuk has.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get into John Lynch talking about finishers and Kyle Shanahan talking about me, let's do some sleeper picks for today's Giants game. They're playing the Dodgers. We got Jordan Hicks on the mound, on the bump. He's inconsistent. What do you think of Jordan Hicks? Ooh, let's see. K's, earned run. Or how about earned runs? 2.5 earned runs against the Dodgers.
Okay, let me say something first. I don't think he's their best starting pitcher, the Giants. I just love to watch him work. I do.
Is he the guy who never goes from the
diabetes?
Go ahead.
Right. He has type 1 diabetes.
Oh, wow.
He's calls himself in closer mode. He always pitches like he's a closer. And I think he's what you call... Logan Webb is that way too. A guy, it's a cliche, he's a battler. I think he has good stuff. I don't think he's great, but I root for him. I don't root for teams, but I sometimes root for players. Obviously, I've never met him. Having said that, it's over under 2.5 runs. The Dodgers are good. I'm going to say, Jordan, I'm rooting for you, but I'm going to say over.
That's fair. That was nice. Okay, what about... Ooh, Soler. I like doing Soler. Strikeouts. He had none in the last game and only one the one before that. 1.5 at the over-under line. Spot.
Okay.
Thing.
Over. And let's talk about him for a minute. Do we have time, Iggy?
Yeah.
When you watch the game tonight, the out pitch on Soler is low and away. Mm-hmm. He can't cover the pitch. And he strikes out even on balls that are out of the strike zone. He can't cover that pitch. And the whole major leagues know it. So when they're in like a 2-2 count, the next pitch is low and away. And he is so tempted by it and he can't reach it. So I feel he's a strikeout factory.
Okay. What about Helio Ramos? Will he get a hit tonight? I'm trying to see who's pitching.
Okay. What are we talking?
Knack. Okay. Ramos. He
I never
hasn't
heard
had
of him
in two games.
Pitching.
What do you think?
So what's the, what is the metric?
Hits. Will he get one?
I lost.
Hits.
How many?
0.5 is the over-under.
You didn't come through, sweetie. Say it again.
0.5 is the over-under. Will he get a hit tonight? Yes or no?
Yes, he'll get a hit. Okay. Let me say this. He's a very good player, and he's a real good surprise for the Giants. He's probably their best hitter, best power hitter, and he's playing center field better than people anticipated, although last night he and Matos lost the game because they didn't know who was going to catch the ball.
That's not good.
So I'm saying he's a good fielder, but what happened last was not good. Here's the thing with him. The league has also got information on him. The strikeout pitch with Ramos is high heat, and it can be down the center, but it's high, and it also doesn't even have to be a strike. He has trouble laying off that pitch, and you'll see at 2-2, the pitch they throw to him is high heat.
You hear that, Ramos? Okay, let's do one player on the A's, and then we'll wrap, and then we'll make our picks. Have you heard of any players on the A's currently?
I don't know anybody on the A's. Are they a major league team?
They apparently are a major league team. They play right here in Oakland. I didn't know this, but they're the American League. They're in the AL West. Their pitcher tonight is Osvaldo Beto, who's 28 years old, 6'3", 175 pounds. Is he a righty? Is he a lefty? I have no idea. Strikeouts, earned run. What is he, like one of these, like, what is he, one of these openers? I don't know. The A's, remember they used to have players you'd heard of and like a team you knew?
I used to cover
Osvaldo
them.
Beto. I think he's going to do great tonight. No, not so great.
Okay.
Less than 2.5 strikeouts for Osvaldo. And then I'm going to flex it.
Iggy, could we not do the A's and could we do the Dodgers instead of Osvaldo?
I don't let you do the two teams playing in the same game for whatever reason. I got to ask them why. I don't know why. You want to do Otani?
Then Osvaldo. What?
We said he wasn't going to get too many strikeouts. I made an executive decision on that. Hold on. We got to go back and look at what we did this one a few days ago. Maybe it wasn't me and you. No, it was me and someone else, but I won. Look, Ramos didn't strike out. Wade got two hits. He's good. All right, that's enough of the sleeper picks. If you want to make your picks, use the promo code CON, C-O-H-N. Get a deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. Okay, so John Lynch first,
Iggy,
was asked.
Wait a minute. Did we do all the picks? Did you have to do one more pick?
We did all the picks. We had to do the A's guy. I'm sorry.
You did enough picks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you schwitzing? I'm really hot.
We're up here in the Oakland Hills, and it's in the night. Schwitzen is Yiddish for sweating.
Oh, my God.
Well, take the jacket off.
Yeah, I think the jacket has to come off. I'm sorry. I mean to be professional. I do, but I'm schwitzing. It's the schwitz rule. Okay.
I'm telling you, my reception is weird. So you're frozen now, but you'll come back.
Okay. Dad.
Okay.
John Lynch was asked. Larry Kruger asked him. You said you wanted finishers. How has that pursuit of finishers been going? What did you think of John Lynch's answer and the topic in general?
Well, I love it. I love the topic. I do. And what I got from what John Lynch said was you can't have enough finishers on a team. Someone who plays to the end, wins a down, wins the game, makes a big play when you need to make a big play, a finisher. And from my experience, Ronnie Lott was a finisher. Joe Montana was a finisher. I would say until he fumbled the ball in the Super Bowl, McCaffrey is a finisher. And you know what? People fumble. So I'm going to call him a finisher. And I do agree that you need finishers. And I do agree that John Lynch was a finisher, and so he understands that this is a very, very important concept. Do you agree it's an important concept?
I think it's a vital concept because it's sort of creates a distinction, an important distinction, that someone could be really, 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 really good, but incapable of going the final step, right? Isn't that what it implies? That no matter how good you are, you could still not be a finisher, even though you have X amount of accolades.
Right. I'll give an example from baseball, someone who was not a finisher with the Giants. Brandon Belt was never a finisher. You know, in the key moment, he would strike out looking. He would. He was never a finisher, and they paid him a lot of money. So
Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't a finisher.
No, Jimmy Garoppolo was not a finisher. He wasn't. Absolutely not. And you know what? I don't think Alex Smith was a finisher.
No. No. So that brings us back to the 49ers. They have a lot of good players. What about that coach, though, who hasn't won a Super Bowl and has had three tries?
Right.
Is he a finisher?
See, that's the irony of when I was watching Lynch and he was speaking so earnestly from the heart. And here's this guy sitting next to him with a hat on. You know, sometimes he looks like he climbed out of the hamper. And I'm thinking, here is doing a eulogy, a Hall of Fame player doing a eulogy for finishers. And he's sitting elbow to elbow with a guy who can't finish. Can't finish. Yeah. He was ahead in the last Super Bowl, and he couldn't finish. He came out for the third quarter and didn't know how to finish.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The game. And then when it went into overtime, he didn't know the rules and he didn't know how to finish the game. There's Mahomes skipping off the field, saying to his teammates, they want the ball. They want the ball. He couldn't believe it. So there were at least two times in the Super Bowl, he didn't know how to finish. So here is Lynch talking correctly about finishers next to a guy who couldn't know a finish if it kissed him on the mouth.
Right. And when people downplay the fact that Kyle not only hasn't won a Super Bowl, but has had double-digit leads in multiple Super Bowls and lost them, they always say, like, well, you know, he's still so great in the regular season, and he has the best offense, and they list all of his accomplishments as if that outweighs losing just one game. But we're talking about a skill set. John Lynch acknowledges that there is a particular trait that certain athletes and coaches have, the finishing trait. And I think people, the biggest critics of Kyle, could say, I don't care what his system is or whatever he does, it does not have the finishing trait. And if you don't believe me, put him in a Super Bowl and see what happens.
Also, I what bothers me is he gets credit, Kyle, for losing Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Well, at least he got there, and he got to the Super Bowl. Why should you get credit for losing a Super Bowl? Bill Walsh never lost a Super Bowl. George Seifert never lost a Super Bowl. Where's the credit in losing a Super Bowl? You got in the Super Bowl, fine. Now win the game. Close the deal. Be a finisher. Finish. He couldn't do
right.
it.
And people always talk about it from the negative.
So I would say, I'm not hearing you, Iggy.
Go ahead, Dad.
Okay. People always talk about him, you know, finishers. He's not a finisher. I have been around finishers. Stephen Curry is a finisher. Steve Kerr is a finisher. Bill Walsh was a finisher. Patrick Mahomes is a finisher, right? I mean, you have a feeling on who's a finisher. And this guy, the coach, they can have as many finishers on the field as they want. But if the coach doesn't know how to finish, they're screwed.
Yeah, and it's funny about them is like when Kyle Shanahan blows the lead in the Super Bowl and loses, you always hear his defenders say like, well, it's not his fault, or people have to execute, or yada, yada, yada. And maybe some of that's true. Like, it's not his fault that Ray McLeod fumbled. But if you're a great coach and a finisher and you have this team and a lead, you should be able to be one of the main reasons the team wins. One of the main people who finds the path to victory.
Right.
But when you have 4th and 4 at the Chiefs 9-yard line in overtime, you didn't want to finish. You wanted to kick a field goal and ask the defense to finish the game. So, yeah, like, he's not a finisher. He doesn't want the role. And if he had the role, he wouldn't know what to do with it.
He could have finished that Super Bowl right then and there. A coach with moxie would have done it. I could name a lot of coaches, starting with Jim Harbaugh. He wouldn't have kicked the field goal, Iggy.
Yeah.
So no, he's
Andy Reid wouldn't
what
have kicked
he
the field
is,
goal.
He's not a finisher. No, Kyle has defined himself as a non-finisher, an anti-finisher. Now, does that mean he's condemned to that for the rest of his life? No, he can change. And maybe one of the things this season is about is transforming himself from a non-finisher to a finisher. But he needs to make a transformation. He needs to improve. And that's one of the defining themes of this season.
Hey, you'd think if
there
you
were
others,
a but
great
that's one
coach, you'd think if you were a great coach at the end of a Super Bowl that's tight, he could do something, make a decision, call a play that puts them over the top. And not only has he not done that or just gotten out of the way, he has gotten in the way. He has been one of the main reasons they've blown big leads, not big leads, but double digit leads, him. So yeah, it's like, it's beyond not finishing. I mean, finishing is you know what's the opposite of finishing? Choking.
What?
Choking. And he's choked. So yeah, they got to finish. How many finishers does it take on a team to overcome a coach who's a choker?
Okay. Hey, Iggy, I love it. Yeah. He's so smart. I hadn't thought of that. So the scale is one end is a finisher, the other end is a choker. And what we see is choke-o-matic.
Yeah, I mean, he gets paid more than most coaches. He's supposed to be one of the best. Show it when it matters. In the second half of the Super Bowl when you're winning. That's the time. You've had that opportunity multiple times, and you had no idea what to do with it. Multiple times. Okay.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Sure.
And this is pure speculation. When Lynch was talking today about finishers, do you think he was completely innocent about that the guy next to him is a choker and not a finisher? Or do you think it was a subtle jab at the coach? I have an opinion. What do you think?
I think Lynch is smart enough to understand that the jury's out and whether or not Kyle's a finisher, and that it one of them is a champion and it's not Kyle. So I think it probably made him happy to say that.
So you think it might have crossed his mind when he was speaking?
Yeah. One of us is a champion, one of us isn't. And it's hard to say you're a finisher if you are not a champion.
Yeah. Yeah. My guess is, and I could be wrong because I don't know Lynch anymore. My guess is that he probably was innocent and didn't make the connection, but we're helping him. We're helping him to make the connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll take a couple super chats and then we'll talk about what Kyle Shanahan said to me today. Big Tim 3 says, Grant, did you smile back at Kyle after his response to your question? Seems like he's finally warming up to you. LOL. I did smile at Kyle. I always give Kyle a big smile. I'm a big fan. Joe Crowell says, afternoon, gents. Mr. Cohn, after reading your first Substack post, I ordered your book through my local seller. She wanted you to know that the cover photo you chose is beautiful. That's right.
The publisher chose it, but thank you so much.
And if you haven't subscribed to my dad's Substack, I just posted the link in the chat. Make sure you all click on that right now and subscribe, because he's out of retirement and he's the best writer in the Bay Area, in the country, but certainly in the Bay Area. And he's going to be writing about more than just Bay Area sports, although he will be writing about Bay Area sports when it's time to do so. So everyone, please subscribe. And also like this stream if you haven't liked it already, because we've got 1,700 people in here right now watching, which is just a mitzvah and a blessing. Okay.
Anyway, it's free to subscribe. I'm not charging. And the last one that's up that I put up yesterday is about the last time I ever saw Bill Walsh alive. And it'll make you cry.
Yeah.
Okay. On to Kyle Shanahan.
All right. So today, I asked Kyle Shanahan.
Give the quotes.
Yeah. So we're talking about Brandon Ayuk. It's Brandon Ayuk Day. And Brandon Ayuk showed up, but he also requested a trade, and it's awkward. And it reminded me of 2 years ago when the same exact thing happened with Deebo Samuel. Requested a trade, came back. And at the time, the question was, we had never gone through this in the Kyle Shanahan era. A player who's prominent requests a trade, comes back. And the question was, how are you going to work this out, Kyle? Isn't this awkward? How are you going to smooth things over? And he was very adamant and transparent. We have a great relationship with Deebo. Once we talk face to face, we will work this out. I am very confident. So I reminded him of him saying that. And I was wondering, I asked him, do you feel the same way about Brandon Ayuk? And he made this thing. He said this thing like, well, I'm not sure if I said it that way exactly, because that's how you often portray my words. But, you know, I got a lot of love for BA. And
Hold on. What he said was, I'm not exactly sure, but knowing you, I might have said it differently. He said the direct quote was knowing you.
Right.
So go on from there.
Yeah, knowing you. I don't know if I said it that way, but I got a lot of love for BA, and I think we're close. I think we have a good relationship, but this is business. So it wasn't exactly like what he said about Deebo, but I think the most interesting thing was what he said about me.
Right. And I'm not interested what he said about Deebo or Ayuk. I don't care. But what I'm interested is what he said to you. So this is journalism. And this is what I feel. And I feel this very strong. First of all, this is his first meeting with the media in training camp. You wipe the slate clean and you start again. You don't carry over old grudges. Small people carry over old grudges. You didn't ask a contentious question. You didn't raise your voice. You were polite. He says, knowing you. So of all the people in the room, he had an issue with you before he walked into the room, which means to me you're in his head. You don't even pay rent. You have a living room in his head. You have a coffee table. You have a really nice sofa. You have a full screen TV. And off to the side, there's, you know, you can have beers in the refrigerator. You live in his head. And I think that's a very bad situation for a coach to have a member of the media living in his head. Bill Walsh, as angry as he used to get at Ira Miller and me, never let it affect his behavior around the media or his interactions with Ira and me. He was a professional. This kid today was, and I call him a kid, was not professional. But there's something way more. And this is what really pisses me off. Knowing you, what he is implying, no, is saying is, I don't trust you to get the quote right. I don't trust your professionalism as a journalist. Iggy, I think you could even sue him for that. By the way, I'm not advocating that you sue him. I don't want you to sue him. But he is impugning your professional ethics and how you go about your job. Now, in this case about Aiyuk and Debo, the quotes bear you out.
Yeah.
They don't bear him out. He spoke on a topic that he had not researched, and he was dead wrong. So he was
wrong. I forgot what he said 2 years ago.
On the facts. He was wrong on the facts, and he and what he implied, asserted about you was, I don't trust your journalism. Well, that's a pretty heavy thing to say. And again, I wouldn't take an action against him, but I don't like it. And it makes me feel he's not professional, that he's the one who needs to raise his standard, and he needs to get over his feelings about you and deal with you man to man. You know, Harbaugh could be very difficult, and a lot of the media didn't like him, Iggy, but he liked you and me very much. He wrote the afterword to my book after I had retired. He didn't owe me anything because he respected where we came from. He respected that we did our jobs professionally. And I'm saying in this area, Harbaugh is more of a man than Kyle Shanahan. Kyle, yes. I hope that your PR staff transcribes what I've said about you. If you want to talk to me, I'm sure you don't, but I'm easily reachable. And if you want to talk to me, I could explain in more detail and help you get over this crisis that you seem to have with my son.
If I were Kyle Shanahan's therapist, my analysis of him doing that would be, Kyle, your issue isn't with Grant. Your issue is with yourself and the fact that you lost the Super Bowl again this year. If you had won the Super Bowl, you would be pleased with everyone. You'd be happy. The world would be great. And you wouldn't be taking snarky shots at anyone. But you lost the Super Bowl. And Grant identified all the reasons why you were culpable or responsible for that loss. And it hurt because he hit close to home. And so you're upset, which is, it's understandable to be upset. But you're not, Grant is not your problem. Your problem is you. And the fact that you haven't achieved what you want to achieve yet, and it burns you up inside. That's the problem. I don't think he'd be taking shots at me if he just won the Super Bowl.
I agree. And I think any coach that thinks the media or a person in the media is his problem is not paying enough attention to his job. You should be impervious to the media. It should not be relevant to you. You should not even know what they're doing. It doesn't matter. Your job is to be a football coach and to be a leader of men. And in this case, I have certain doubts.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, like, there's something weird about my role in his psyche. It seems like you said I live rent-free in his head. Like, he thinks about me too much. He really wanted, the last two times I've asked him a question, he's like had something to say to me. in minicamp, I asked him a question. He's like, wow, you were really ready for me to stop. How'd you know I was going to be done talking? How'd you know? Like, I don't know, Kyle, because I've been in a lot of your press conferences.
I actually thought he was joking that time.
Okay.
I'm going to give him the benefit of doubt on that one. But today, no, I didn't think he was joking at all. Iggy, you have a kitchenette, and you know what I mean? You have a balcony. You really have a good living accommodations in his head.
I mean, it's one thing for him to say, hey, I didn't say that, you need to check your facts, but like he said it and didn't remember that he said it. So it's like, yeah. Do you care about the things that you say? Do you think about the things that you say? Do you just say whatever and move on to the next question? How seriously should we take your words? Because your team transcribes every single one of your press conferences and puts it on their website like it's gospel. So should we just disregard language from you? I don't know.
I love it. And here's another thing, Iggy, I wanted to say. I've known a lot of football coaches, some better than this guy. Coaches that I knew went out of their way to have a polite working relationship with the important people they encounter every day. With the possible exception of Mayoko, you have the biggest voice of anyone covering that team. And the way you know it is when you walk into the locker room, it's an event for the players every single time because you're controversial and sometimes abrasive, sometimes friendly, but it's an event. Shanahan should be going out of his way not to kiss up to you, but to normalize the relationship. It's in his interest. You're not some other schlemiel on the beat. It's you and Matty Mayoko who are, I believe, head and shoulders. And yeah. He should know that and act accordingly. And I think Lynch does.
Kyle doesn't know how easy he has it. Like, it's a big market, but it's not. And I was talking about this with Robert Saleh at the owners meeting that Kyle didn't show up to. He was like, man, Robert was like, I try to tell Kyle, you don't know how good you have it. You have the same 7 beat writers every day, and they like you. I have dozens of beat writers that come every day. Dozens. And they're insane, Grant. They're nuts. I was like, yeah, they make me seem tame, right? Completely tame. Straight face. Kyle, I mean, you got a problem with me? Go coach the New York Giants.
Oh, the Jets.
Yeah, go try that. You know, you tried Washington with your dad. Didn't go so well.
Yeah. Anyway, knowing you was a shitty thing to say. And you didn't do anything to him, Iggy. So, I took note of it as a journalist and as a father.
It was interesting.
And had it been me. And again, what? Hold on. Because I keep losing you, and I want to end this soon because I'm having glitches. But had it been me, and I never advocate you do this because you're on your own and I always had big organizations behind me. But if a coach ever said to me, knowing you, I would say, what do you mean knowing me? What do you mean? What are you saying? What are you implying? We need to talk about it right now. Are you impugning my journalism? What are you saying, Kyle? And you know what? He wouldn't want to get into it. I was just joking around. What's your question? But I don't advocate you do that because you're a freelancer. And I had the Chronicle behind me and I had the Press Democrat, which meant I had the whole New York Times behind me. And I was in a much more secure position than people who do what you do.
It's just funny to me. Like Kyle Shanahan he's been known to watch videos of himself throw a football after practice. Like the things he focuses on are so silly. He focuses on me, himself. It's like, dude, why don't you just win the Super Bowl, man? Instead of getting mad that I didn't give you enough credit for losing the Super Bowl, just win the Super Bowl and then everyone will give you credit, including me. That's all you need to worry about.
I got one more thing to say, Iggy, and then I want to end this stream today. Because you're frozen on my screen right now. I was watching. Did somebody in the media corps actually ask him about his mustache?
There were a lot of mustache questions, yes. Multiple mustache questions.
I couldn't hear.
Lot of mustache questions today, Dad. Multiple mustache questions, yes.
There were mustache questions. And he answered the mustache questions.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Mustache? Why don't you just kiss his tush? What kind of mustache questions? This is the first day of training camp and you're asking about a mustache? Well, where did journalism go? Can you imagine Ira Miller asking anyone about a mustache? What happened to journalism? What happened to serious writers and commentators? Mustache? Iggy, I want to end it. I'm going to grow a mustache. No, I'm
okay,
not.
Dad, I'm going to let you go. I got a couple super chats. I'll talk to you later, Dad. I'll call you.
Okay.
I love you.
Take care.
See ya. Jay Garza says, can fans have a Super Bowl hangover too? I'm completely not excited about this season with Kyle as head coach. Remember how we used to make fun of the Bengals for losing to us twice in the Super Bowl? Am I the only one that feels like the team's a little burnt out? Did you hear when they asked George Kittle and Nick Bosa about like, so, you know, last year there was all this energy around the team about going back to the Super Bowl. Do you guys have that now? And they're like, yeah, you know, it's we're back at work and you got no choice but to grind it out. So we're going to grind it out. Like, man, they sound like very, very wealthy people who are tired and a little burnt out. Not like physically tired, but mentally tired. You know the difference? That's what they seem like to me. As a very, very wealthy person who has lost multiple Super Bowls, I understand what that's like. That's me. It's just exhausting, burnt out. Thank you, Lowell, for returning to writing. I will tell him that. He was having a tough time today. He needs to restart his computer. Needs to restart the Dell. All right. I think that's it. We got 2,000 people watching. I just want to point out real quick with the Ricky Pearsall thing. I didn't get to mention this, but yeah, he could miss a week. It's been a couple of weeks, right? He must have injured this a couple of weeks ago for them. I mean, we heard a few days ago. Just want to point out that Justin Jefferson missed a lot of time with the pulled hamstring last year. So it could be nothing serious, but hamstring injuries are tricky. And I think that honestly, no one knows how bad it's going to be when it happens. So keep in mind, it's a big deal for wide receivers who are running. That's their job. Anyway, thanks for watching. This was the Cone Zone. I'll be back tomorrow after practice with Jesse Naylor, 49ers in the afternoon. See you guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.